commodity broker Gordy Kulevitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. What can you say, Gordy, other than what a week, and especially right at the close today? Isn't it amazing what modern technology can do?
Oh, it's been absolutely nuts. You know, we started off the week on a strong Monday, which is unusual. You know, usually we've been getting pushed down, but like I said, the rare times we're not, they're up big. Then we're down on Tuesday. Then we got the report, which actually was a fairly decent report. Actually, market held up well after the report that was really a little bit negative. I mean, almost every number came in a little bit above the guesses, but nonetheless, it was pretty legit. Then we kind of ended up starting off with a great day yesterday, and in the middle of the day, they came back in and just belly flopped on the thing and just crushed it. And again, it was all the markets. It wasn't just the grains. Everything got beat up. T-note interest rates got above 2% for the first time in since 2019. So it's not a big deal, but it was something the market's been fixated on, and they just belly flopped on the world yesterday. And then we came back, and then about, call it half hour, 45 minutes-ish ago, something like that, PBS put out a statement saying they know that Putin has made a decision when to invade Ukraine, and it's imminent. And then some other people, Biden had a statement out about a little over an hour ago at some press conference where they asked about something, and he said, no, we're not going to send troops into Ukraine to rescue U.S. citizens. Sending troops into Ukraine would be an act of war. And some of those tweets came out off of that press conference, basically making it sound like sending troops is an act of war, we're going tomorrow kind of thing. Bottom line is, there's a press conference on with Jake Sullivan right now who's saying, yeah, we don't really know when he's going to war. We think it's soon, but we don't know. But the bottom line is everything exploded on the fact that it sounded like we're going to war immediately.
And what's crazy, so all this is happening right about the time the grain markets are closing.
Oh, you know, with 20 minutes before they close. And what's crazy is you go to NBC, CNBC, Bloomberg, Fox News, CNN, CNN Headline News. They're talking about fat people. You know, they're talking about everything else. I mean, you go to CNBC and they're talking about after the news came out, these would be the investments you want to put your money into. And like, I mean, how sick are we as a society? We're talking nuclear war and here's where you want to put your money in the next 4 minutes. You know, that's just nuts. Couldn't find the news. I mean, to this point, I still haven't actually seen the actual news that sent the market up. You know, basically it was on a Twitter. And like I said before, Twitter should be outlawed. It's just stupid. Bottom line, if you trade off of anything you read on Twitter, you deserve whatever happens to you. But the bottom line is crude went up to 94.66. We still inspect offer at 93.04, which is still up, you know, over $3. The Dow was down over 500 points. We rebounded. We're down 340 now. You know, I mean, it just markets went a little goofy. Gold's up $19 an ounce. Silver's still down 2 cents, but it was down 40 when the news came out. The grains went boink. Like I said, if this happens, wheat's going to go up. Chicago wheat at 806.25. We're now at 98.25, up 26. Casey's up 21.5, which puts it 9 off its highs. And Minneapolis up 14. And again, it puts it about 13 off its highs there. Beans are up 11. That puts them, 11, call it a dime off the highs. Corn's up 8, and again, it puts it about 7.75 off the highs. So we had a big spike up, and since nobody could figure out when nuclear war was going to come, we kind of started fading back. And so we still got a good boost out of it, but the bottom line is it was, you know, kind of a rumory thing that got us going. And it's interesting, the meats didn't have a chance to respond, fortunately, I guess. But, you know, it was one of those deals where it, you know, nobody knew anything. And, of course, when nobody knows anything, it's just more of a get-me-out trade than anything else, especially.
The thing about Twitter, how many people have you heard about losing their job because of something silly or stupid they tweeted out about? I just don't understand why everybody pays so much attention to that.
Well, because it's instant, it's quick, you know, and there is news out on Twitter. I mean, you can definitely find news on Twitter, you know, like things like the NOPA crush. You know, you got to pay $1,200, you know, a year to get the dumb thing. Somebody on Twitter will end up throwing it out there within, you know, minutes of it coming out somewhere along the line. And, you know, we have a client, you know, a contact out of Brazil who's pretty good, you know, and he gives out accurate information on Twitter. So, I mean, you know, there are sources on Twitter that are useful, but so much of the news that comes out on Twitter is just stuff, you know, and people put stuff out there to get, you know,
attention.
It's kind of like a game show. You know, the more followers you get, you know, like, and more likes and all that kind of good stuff. And so people throw that out there. And it's also a great tool for misinformation. You know, I mean, what Biden said is true. I'm sending troops into Ukraine would be an act of war. And it was part of an overall statement where he said, ain't going to happen just because of that very thing. But if you just take his comment, Biden says sending troops would be an act of war, it kind of implies we're sending troops right now. And that's not what he said. So, you know, like I said, the media, back when you had reporters, you'd actually have reporters that would do some reporting, you know, maybe make a few calls, you know, check with a source. Well, those guys are long gone now, you know, so all you got are guys that are basically talking heads. And they, when news like this comes out, they got to wait for the teleprompter to tell them what to say. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we're talking potential nuclear war with one of our biggest rivals, and none of the news places had any news out there. And I went to Google, the latest was a 51-minute story about Biden in a news conference. So it's kind of frustrating. My phone lines are lighting up. People are going, what's going on? And the bottom line is, I don't know, rumors, you know?
So from the technical side, then, did we do anything? Or then it's hard to say it means anything with all this rigmarole right at the close today.
Well, the rigmarole all week. I mean, bottom line, you know, I mean, so yesterday we had that big spike up and then, you know, kind of a failure. And so that looks like a big reversal. But now that we spiked right back up, kind of negates that reversal at least. So there's that. Same with the March beans. You look at the March beans, made a new contract high yesterday, big spike up, and a flip up today. So, I mean, the beans look more top heavy. Whenever you see that big spike up, you need to challenge it relatively quickly. And at the same time, though, the fundamentals are so incredibly bullish, it's hard to really picture this market setting back a tremendous amount. But at the same time, you look at the rally we just had and how far away we are from trend lines and moving averages and things. You know, I've been warning people for a while that, you know, beans, you know, at these levels, they're vulnerable for a dollar correction just because it's Tuesday. You know, and you look at yesterday, you know, we had a high of 1633 and a low of 1565. Wow. That was just in one day. You know, so a 2-3 day correction could easily, you know, whack this market around a little bit. But at the same time, you got to think anybody's going to want to buy a big break. And, you know, we saw that last night. Oh, and in fact, one of the things that I didn't mention, I mentioned this morning that we sold 30,000 tons of new crop bean oil. Well, halfway through the morning, the USDA came out and said, never mind, it was old crop bean oil. So it's for delivery a lot sooner than that, which I think is a little bit more bullish. So, I mean, overnight, we were down yesterday, and you know, we had a corn sale, a bean sale, and a big bean oil sale. So my guess is on any kind of a dip, the world just goes, well, thank you. So, again, it puts a lot of buying support underneath the market.
And the livestock, you alluded to it, didn't go wacko late today with the tweet about war?
Well, I mean, I don't think they had enough time because they were, you know, it was coming right up when, you know, they closed earlier. So their reversal yesterday looks a little more legit. You know, they made a new high for the move on the cattle, ended up closing lower, had a good spike up right off the bat this morning, but then they sort of slowly eased on down. And, you know, I just don't think there's the immediacy like with the grains. I mean, in the grains, we're losing crop every day, basically, out of South America. You know, we're not losing cattle anywhere like that on a daily basis. It's kind of the same old thing. And so I think the charts look a little more negative. There's not really a lot of news out there. And so the cattle kind of rolled over a little bit and kind of acted a little bit weaker. And again, closing weaker today, kind of looks like that kind of backs that up a little bit. So, I mean, this is basically where we started the week, but they just look a little bit wimpy right now. And again, they've had a pretty good rally. There's all kinds of support levels and whatnot. So, yeah, we got some room to go before we get down to those levels. So I would think next week looks like they start off a little on the weak side. And kind of the same with the hogs. Big spike up yesterday, made a new contract high. Just, you know, they've been on a tear. Big reversal and then a follow-through to the downside today. And again, kind of like the beans, you know, when these markets get overbought, the pullback is usually pretty sharp and kind of brutal. You know, so you look at the like April hogs, back on January 11th, they were at 83.60. Yesterday on our high, we hit 107.70. So, I mean, they're due for a little bit of a dip and, you know, big reversal yesterday. So, again, they're very far away from moving averages, trend lines, however you want to call it, relative strength. So, I mean, it just feels like the meats next week have a little bit of vulnerability to them. And again, though, they've been going up for a reason. And my guess is, you know, you get a good hard break out of it. And at some point, the end users, specs, somebody will step back in and buy the thing. But, and again, so much of what's going on is all these rumors about Russia. And so now we just kind of threw that into the mix at the end of the week, which puts some of that kind of into the mix for next week. You know, they're talking about next week, they expect some kind of attack. Well, next week is 7 days, as far as I can tell. So, you know, we got a bunch of days where we have to worry about Russia attacking, even though Russia keeps saying we're not going to attack anybody. So, you know, we're going to come in next week with weather in South America being a factor. Like I said, I think, especially in the case of the grains, the commitment of traders is going to show them getting really long, and it always seems to freak them out. And then, you know, the way it's going, we could have 16 billion different guesses and rumors about what's going on in the Soviet Union. And on Sunday night, of course, we start off the grain trading watching the Super Bowl. And historically, if the Super Bowl is a really good game, everyone watches the game and nobody cares about what the markets are doing. And if it's a blowout, everybody goes back to trading. So by halftime, we may have people basically still not paying attention, or maybe the grains will be really a big deal. And, you know, so next week is going to be kind of a busy week considering it's normally a middle of nowhere week.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovets.